gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday morning means one thing. We've got Claire on the line, the garden editor. How are you today, Claire? All right?
I'm very well, David. Thank you. I'm a bit cold.
I know. Monday was a bit chilly, wasn't it? Where did that come from?
It was indeed. So my question to you, have you put the heating on?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, log burner. We had the log burner on at the weekend, so that's right.
Oh, that's quite cosy, isn't it? Yeah. I am, when the temperature drops, and I've been doing lots of work outside this week because it's lots of digging and bulb planting work. This time of year, I get out the old boiler suit, you know, those big all-in-one suits.
Yeah.
So I always say boiler suit out before the boiler in the house goes on. So that's my kind of mantra.
Right.
So
I suppose that must be quite difficult, especially if the ground's hard with frost and that digging.
Well, that's true. So we can talk a bit about what to do. So the theme of this week actually is all about temperatures plummeting and what to do when the frost starts.
All right.
What you can and you can't do. But you're right. If the ground is hard, depending on how deep the temperatures fall to, how low they go, digging can be an absolute flipping nightmare. It's not been too bad this week. It's just been frosty mornings, but that's kind of air frost rather than ground penetratingly cold frost, so I can still warm work, but more layers are going on and more coffee internally is going in.
Absolutely. So,
but yeah, the heating is not yet going on in the garden editor's house. So I'll hold off for as long as possible before that goes on.
Right. No, definitely. Well, you know, you can't afford to run it, can you, really? It's a bit expensive at the minute.
It is, and I think it's one of those things that once you put it on, it's very hard to learn not to turn it off. I think people, certainly in my experiences, once it goes on, it's on till spring. But we'll see. Every day without it is a day of pennies saved, isn't it? And you know, and also using fossil fuels. So
absolutely,
so there we are. We can do that.
Right, talk to us about frost then.
Yeah, so frost is an interesting time of year because it suddenly comes across us, doesn't it? You know, it was 20-odd degrees last weekend and now here we are in the morning, it's crispy underfoot. So here's a few things to do in the garden. So the first thing to do is to bring indoors or to put in a greenhouse anything which is tender. So tender plants are those which won't survive freezing temperatures. So what we call non-hardy geraniums, so pelargoniums, so those kind of very bright red and bright white geraniums you can have in window boxes.
Right.
Things like lemon trees, if you've got lemon trees. I have a collection of succulents which lives outside in the summer. But in this weather, bring them indoors. If you've got a greenhouse, lovely. I don't. I just have to kind of distribute them around the house or to friends with places to keep them inside in porches and things, and bring them in. But when you bring them in, give them a good check over because they'll have been out all summer. So if you bring them in and put them beside your nice houseplant collection, you might find that any pest or disease you've brought in from your garden plants hop over and start munching their way through other things you have in the house.
Which is what you don't want to happen.
Exactly. So I have a little holding pen. Things have to stay for like
24
hours.
Oh, do you put your plants in quarantine?
Exactly. I put them in quarantine. I put them in kind of self-isolation for a week. Not so much for a week, just for a couple of days until I've had a chance to check them over and make sure there's nothing in them. Or even just, you know, the odd slug on the bottom of the pot and things like that. You don't want to be bringing those things into the house.
No, definitely not. No.
Yeah. And people might be panicking now, thinking, oh, crumbs, I've not brought my things in yet. And we have had a couple of frosts. So I would say don't panic. The temperatures we have had have been frosty, but they've not been really, really hard. So you might have got away with it. It's now the time of year to better be safe than sorry. Bring them in. Just make sure that you put them in quarantine and bring them in for the winter. And then when the temperatures rise and the frosts finish in spring, they can go out again.
We're due to get snow, aren't we, this year, apparently?
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me anymore about the weather.
we might even get it this afternoon. You never know. It could just happen.
You never know.
It?
Well, I got the Met Office press release, which told us we'd have the hottest ever September in the planet, worldwide, the hottest ever September.
See, you getting that press release, I'd say that you sound a bit of an anorak. Getting a Met Office press release.
I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to temperature and climate. I just think it's very interesting, and you know, it's very easy to kind of, in particularly my line of work, I'm living with the weather every single day.
Yeah, of course you are. Yeah.
But it's useful to kind of see the long term trend.
Mm.
So what? Yeah. So what else can we do when the frost hits? So the other thing is, some plants will still be in flower at the moment. So things like dahlias, which are a late autumn flowering plant, will still have flowers on them. So you can cut all the flowers off and bring them inside and make them nice, pretty posies. When the frosts get very severe, your dahlias, the tops and the stems will go mushy and rot away. So at this point, you can do one of two things. You can either dig them up. They kind of look like potatoes under the ground. They're called tubers, but it looks like basically a collection of potatoes with bits of roots in between.
Right.
You can either put them somewhere frost free for the winter, just in a pot. They don't need any light or any water or anything. Or you can do what I do, which is I leave them in the ground, but I protect them with a branch or two, normally of a Christmas tree or a large leafed plant, so the water doesn't get into the tubers, because that's what really causes the problems with a lot of our garden plants in the winter. It is the cold, but it's also the wet, and it's that combination of wet and cold water going into plants, freezing, expanding, as we know from our physics GCSE, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
The water expands and the ice crystals form, and then they break, and then your plant goes to mush.
All right.
So for me, I take a risk of it. I leave them in the ground, and so far they've done well every year. But if you're more conservative, or you know, it's a prized dahlia from your great grandmother, or you just live somewhere where the temperatures tend to be even colder and wetter than here, dig them up.
Is there a place that's colder and wetter than Basingstoke?
I hear tell. But also, as an island, we're going to have great tourism in the future, because a cold, wet island is what a very hot and dry planet will want in terms of a holiday. So Basingstoke 2050 will be the tourist destination of our dreams, David.
Right, I'm going to make a note of that. Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Hang on,
yeah.
Write that down. Okay.
I might even go to
the bookmakers this afternoon and put a bet on that. And if it becomes fruitful, then we'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll go.
I think we'll be too old to enjoy it anyway if we did become fruitful. Sorry.
Indeed. That's okay. And talking about fruit, that was my next tip.
Look at that.
It's almost like we might have scripted this, which we absolutely haven't.
No, we do it off the cuff, don't we? We do it. We don't even plan it.
No, we freewheel it. But yeah, going back to fruit. So it's the end of the season for picking fruit. So if you've got apples or pears, you can pick those now if they're ripe. If they're not ripe, they're not damaged too much by frost, so you can leave them on a few weeks longer.
All right.
So with pears, you only pick them when they are hard, and then they'll ripen and soften a bit inside. With apples, they won't ripen once they're off the fruit tree. So twist them a quarter of the way round on the stalk, and if they come off neatly in your hand, they're good to go. And you can store most of them through the winter if you've got that many. Yeah.
I didn't know about the twisting.
Yeah, just twist it. And if they come off easily, then they're ripe. Yeah.
And if they don't, they stay there.
The one thing you must take off, even if they are unripe, is any little tiny figs. Lots of us grow figs now in fig pots and things. But if you leave the little figs on, even if they're the size of a pea, it inhibits next year's fruit. So take off all those little figlets, your figlets of your imagination, and pop them in the compost or something like that. I don't think you can do much with them.
No.
I thought about making green fig chutney, but then I reconsidered my life choices and thought...
Even just the word puts me off, fig.
It's not your favourite, is it?
No. To be honest, I don't think I've ever tasted one. I just don't like the sound of it.
They are nice when they're properly ripe and luscious, but there's a lot of bad figs out there. I'll give you
that. Are they sweet then?
Very sweet. Very sweet. Purple flesh. Really nice and sweet. They're lovely with a bit of ham and goat's cheese.
Oh, no.
No.
Can't do goat's cheese. No. Oh.
I've broken you, Dave.
Yes, you have. No, I can't do that. No. Let's carry on talking about fruit and frost. Not goat cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. Okay. So I thought that we should probably talk about what you can do even when it's frosty and cold, because people kind of get worried and think, oh no, what does this mean? Can I still do these other things?
You can put the heating on.
You could put the heating on only once you've put your boiler suit on, right, to go outside and do your tasks, you know, boiler suit before internal boilers. Okay. You can sit inside and have a cup of tea, but there's also plenty you can still do in the garden.
Right.
So this time of year, if you want to help protect your plants and give them a nice little duvet for the winter, it's a great time to mulch your borders. So that's putting on any kind of compost or organic matter from your compost bin or from a DIY shop, and putting a nice thick duvet of mulch over your borders. And this will keep all the warmth in the soil, which is already in the soil. So that means there's still lots of heat in the ground to help roots grow and your plants to kind of really dig down in for the winter. And that's an easy thing to do. Even if the ground is a bit frozen, it doesn't matter too much. It's best to do it when it's not really hard frozen, because then you're just kind of trapping the cold in the soil, if you see what I mean. Yeah. But that's an easy thing to do. The other thing you can do as well, and it's a good thing, someone asked me this question on Facebook, is can I mow my lawn? And the answer is yes. There's no reason why you still can't mow your lawn after a frost. You might want to think about two things. One, don't mow it too short, because this will probably be the last cut you do before the winter. The grass isn't going to grow that much over the winter. So don't go too short on it, because you might just make a mud fest. And secondly, don't do it right at the start of the day when it's still all frosty. You might want to wait for it to dry out a bit and for the dew to come off it. Otherwise, it just gets quite claggy and difficult to mow and get through the lawnmower, really.
Because it's like having an air cut, really. You don't go for a number one, do you, just at the start of winter?
I'm sure that's true. I defer to your greater knowledge. But I would imagine you go for a slightly longer hair growth level.
That's right.
Level,
something to keep the top of the ears warm.
Yes. Yeah, do a bit of internal heating around the ear holes. Yeah. For sure. And you can still definitely still plant bulbs. We talked a couple of weeks ago about bulbs for spring, things like daffodils and crocuses. It's absolutely fine to still plant bulbs. Now, the ground, if it's not frozen solid, of course, if it is frozen solid, go make a cup of tea and wait for another day. But actually, some bulbs like tulips are really good to plant later in the season, because the colder temperatures stop diseases getting to them. There's a disease called tulip fire. And actually, if you plant them in the colder temperatures, it's less likely that they will succumb to that particular virus. So it's definitely still time to plant bulbs, mulch your borders, give your lawn a final haircut for the year, but not too tender, not too tight to the old ear holes. There's still plenty you can get on with doing. There's nothing more untasty than an unripe fig. But talking of figs and fruit, actually, it won't be too long before we get into what's called the bare root season. And this is a really exciting season, because you can buy things like roses and trees, including fruit trees, without a pot attached to them. You just buy them, as they say, with a bare root. So you just buy something which looks a bit like a twig, but with a root system attached to it. And this is a great, great thing to do. Why? Because it's much cheaper, because you're not paying for a container and you're not paying for the compost in the container. So you don't have to deal with more plastic in your life and more compost, which might have peat in it or things like that. It's much lighter to transport. So in terms of carbon emissions, if you're ordering on the internet and ordering bare root plants, they're less likely to have a higher carbon cost. So they're better for the environment that way. And you tend to get much better varieties. It's because it used to be the way actually most people bought plants for their gardens was in the winter season, and they'd just literally be dug up in a field and given to you. You know, we didn't have things like plastic plant pots before the 70s, really. So bare roots are a great way of buying things like fruit trees, so apple trees and pear trees in particular. Do you like apples and pears?
I'm a bit fussy about pears, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't mind apples.
The thing with pears, I find, is you have to be really particular about quite how ripe they are, because they go from very not ripe to too
squashy, it's just getting them right, isn't it?
Yeah, or you can always make them into a nice pear crumble. or like a pear
tart. Now we're talking.
Like
now,
that.
See, now we're talking what I like to talk about. Sweet stuff, food. That's what I like. Not all this fruit.
Well, but the whole point of fruit is you can put it in a crumble, can't you?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So all those type of things, which, you know, are lovely at this time of year and really nice and warming. So once you've got your cup of tea and you've put your boiler on, you can sit there with a really nice slice of pear cake or an apple crumble.
Crumble with some custard. Oh, yeah.
Or a blue, yeah. I'm like, I've got lots of blackberries from the hedgerows, and you can add them to a smoothie, or you can have them in a crumble, or, you know, with a bit of custard. It's absolutely divine at this time of year.
Talking about crumble, that gives me an idea for Sticky Bun Tuesday next week.
Ooh.
Now, the reason I say that is let's see how many people are listening now to next week and see if they can guess it.
Ah, that would be funny. Good to see.
So before we go, you had some questions, did you? You said you had some questions that were sent over to you via your social media, via Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. So people were saying, oh, can I, I haven't bought my bulbs yet. Is that a problem? Particularly where they're worried about the frosts. No, it is absolutely not a problem. You can plant bulbs anytime from now until maybe even January or February for some of the later ones. And hint to the wise, come January, a lot of the garden centres and the online sellers will be desperate to get rid of their last bulbs.
Right.
So if you can hold on, you can probably snaffle yourself a fair few bargains, but you will have to take what's left.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So if your heart's set on something, there's still plenty of time to go down to the shops or to get online and see what it is that you want to get set for spring.
Okay.
And then I had a question. Someone said, apart from mowing my lawn, is there anything else I should be doing to look after it? And yes, at this time of year, not only can you give your lawn a last haircut, but you can do something called aerate and scarify. Now,
one of them prickly things, isn't it?
It is. It sounds really painful, doesn't it? It sounds a bit like medieval torture. But it's nothing more complicated than scarifying is getting rid of all the gag, getting rid of all the kind of the thatch and the moss and all the stuff which builds up on top of your lawn. Yeah. So you just get a rake and you scrape it all off, and it might look a bit bare and patchy, but don't worry about that. And then aerating is where you're just making holes, you're getting air into your lawn to stop it where it's been quite compacted. You know, if you have a dog or children or grandchildren, or it's where you always put your table in the summer, areas where it's like a lot of heavy footfall and it might have got all a bit claggy. So all you do is you get a garden fork and you wiggle it in and you stand up on it and make some little holes and then move it along.
All right.
And if that's, you can get really fancy shoes. Like, I think that must be like golf.
Just walk up and down your lawn, don't you, with them on there?
Yeah, with your spikes or your golf spikes or your cross-country runners or whatever. But I think this, you can always throw more money after these projects, can't you? So those are the questions I had. If there are more questions, please keep them coming. We love answering them. No question is a stupid question. And I bet you, if you ask it, lots of other people will be saying, oh, I wish I didn't know that.
Right, so you're not back next week. You're having a week off next week, but you're back the week after that.
That's right. It will be, I think we'll be into half term, but I'm going to listen on Tuesday for Sticky Bun Tuesday to find out what the
You're going to have to do that now, aren't you? I'm a bit confused. I can't possibly think of what song you're going to pick today.
I
did think one actually, but it was more of a Christmas song, and I thought, well, no, we won't be playing Christmas songs, so I'm stuck.
Okay. Well, tell me afterwards, and we might do that when we kind of do one of our Christmas episodes.
Well, I was thinking Frosty the Snowman, you see, because you're on about frost.
Oh, I see. So I was a bit tempted, but I thought, and you know, some weeks it's a bit harder to think of songs than others. But
go on and surprise me.
This one, for my track for the week, this week, Dave, I would like you to play Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. I can do that.
Fantastic.
Thanks for joining us today, Claire.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.